السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. صدق الله العظيم.
علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, over the past 3 or 4 weeks we have been discussing a letter of Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he sent with Hazrat Dahiya Kalbi to the Emperor of Rome. But today, it being a Juma during the July holidays, we have many visitors and they have not followed up what we were discussing. So therefore I have decided to complete the subject which we had commenced before that, which we did not complete, and that was the 4 amals that we should try and make so that we get a connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and so that our life becomes comfortable, peaceful, happy, both in this world and in the akhirat. There are 4 simple amals that we can all do without spending any money. It does not require any real effort, but it will make it easy for us to practice on all the other aspects of deen. Hazrat Dr. Abdul Hayy Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, who is a great wali of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hayy Rahmatullah Alayh, he recommended this simple little prescription which I have been explaining to you in a little detail. We have discussed to some extent the first one, which was shukr. 4 things that we should do. One is plenty of shukr over the ni'mats that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. I have discussed this already at length, but just to recap on just 1 or 2 points, whichever Allah Ta'ala puts to mind, that we are blessed with Allah Ta'ala's ni'mats at every turn of our life. Every moment in our life we are being showered with Allah Ta'ala's ni'mats, whichever way we look. We may be having a little bit of difficulties and problems, but each and every person is getting so much of ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala that if he looks at those ni'mats, then those difficulties will become insignificant. As I explained to you, that from the time that we get up, immediately that we open our eyes, we realize that it is a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala that we have been open, we've been able to see. We can see how many people went blind. They could not see. Suddenly they went blind. So the ni'mat of the eyes, you make shukr. You have been able to listen, you make shukr. You look around the house, it is not burgled, you make shukr. You look at your car, it has not been hijacked, you'll make shukr. You look at your children, they are playing around or they are sleeping comfortably. They were not disturbed by some serious disease or illness. You make shukr. Now in this way, if the person gets the habit of making shukr, and then after that when he is going to work or when he is going for salah, then all the ni'mats that Allah Ta'ala is blessing him with, he is able to walk, he is able to move, he is able to drive, he is able to still use that intelligence that Allah Ta'ala gave him to do his accounting and to do his hisab kitab and to do his buying and selling. That computer that Allah Ta'ala has put in his head, which does not require any connection with any plug, and which this person uses for earning his livelihood and for all his other activities, free of charge. Now he's making shukr over that. Now when this person is going to make plenty of shukr over these ni'mats, it will build up a muhabbat with Allah Ta'ala, that the giver of all these ni'mats is my Allah. And now that he's making plenty of shukr, it will also reduce his commission of sins. Because the person will realize that these ni'mats are all without my really deserving it. Allah Ta'ala has just given it to me out of his kindness, out of his mercy. How can I be then disobedient to that Allah who has blessed me with these ni'mats without my deserving? So in this way, this shukr will make him connected with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and then he will want to find out, how must I use these eyes, how must I use my ears, how must I use my time, how must I use my money, because it is given by Allah Ta'ala. So now the shukr of each ni'mat will be in accordance with that ni'mat. The shukr of the eyes, that we do not see haram. The shukr of the tongue, that we do not speak anything that's haram. We use it for Allah's zikr, ibadat, and so many other permissible things. So in this way, for each item that he has been blessed with now, he will find out from the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that how he should make use of it. So this will be develop a contact with Allah Ta'ala and also a contact with Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I have discussed shukr at length, inshallah we'll go back to it some other time, but let us discuss the other three so that those people will not be here again next Jummah, at least they can get the whole prescription. The second thing is sabr. Just as shukr, there is a muqam of shukr. When the person reaches that muqam of shukr, then that person's whole life is transformed. There's great detail to it, but let us now discuss the second aspect or the second part of the prescription, which is sabr. That just as so many things are happening in accordance with our desire and will, a person desires a lot of things and Allah Ta'ala makes the system work in his favor. The food that he wants, he is able to purchase, he is able to eat. The place that he wants to visit, he is able to go and visit. The type of car that he is wanting to buy, he is able to buy, because Allah Ta'ala has given him sufficient amount of funds. And so many other things in our lives which we desire, and Allah Ta'ala fulfills that desire. Although we don't deserve it, but he fulfills it. So many, many things in our lives happen in accordance with our own will and desire. Although it is the desire of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, but out of his kindness, he fulfills that desire which came into our heart. If Allah Ta'ala, it is actually his doing that he fulfills that desire. But we feel that it has happened according to our will and desire. So just as so many things are happening as we wish, there will be so many things that will be happening against our wish and will and desire. In this world, nobody can say that no kind of grief and sorrow and pain will come upon him. It's just impossible. There will be somebody, even if he is in excellent health, but there will be somebody in his family that is sick and ailing, that is suffering from cancer, that's suffering from some other serious disease and illness. So that is going to definitely cause him also some pain and problem. If he is in good health, does not mean his entire family and friends and everybody is in good health. If this person has got a wonderful business and he is prosperous, but that does not mean that no grief will come upon his heart. There could be somebody in his family, in his own children, in his neighborhood, in his friends, who could be suffering some kind of a problem. Then death, although he is alive and jumping and dancing, but there could be somebody in his family that passes away in an accident, that goes away in a shooting case. So something or the other is going to cause him grief also. The parents will be affected with whatever happens to the children. The husband will be affected with what happens to his wife. That is, if they've got that kind of muhabbat. And the wife will also be affected with whatever happens to the husband. So grief and sorrow is something that we cannot avoid in this world altogether. But a simple prescription that has been given to us in the Quran Sharif itself, that is, إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةً قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. That when any kind of difficulty comes upon them, any kind of calamity, any kind of disaster, any kind of problem, then they say, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That verily we are from Allah, and towards Allah is our return. Now this makes his sickness, his pain, his grief, his sorrow lessen to a considerable extent when he believes and understands and keeps saying, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un, over his difficulties and his problems. So just as we have to make plenty of shukr over the ni'mats, we must make plenty of sabr over any kind of difficulty. And the true meaning of sabr is not just that when we are in pain or difficulty, we make some sabr. Because the true meaning of sabr is this. Why did Rasulullah Paak say that the position in iman of sabr is like the head in the body? Just as we heard of namaz, the position of namaz in deen is like the position of the head in the body. In the same way, there's a hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that the position of sabr in a person's life, in iman, is like the person's head in the body. Without the head, there's no life. So in the same way, this sabr, why has it got so much of virtues? Because the true meaning of sabr is this, that when there is an evil desire that is coming in the heart, then this person suppresses that desire and he obeys Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And on the other hand, when there is some hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that now get up, it's very cold in the morning, but you have to get up and make your fajr salat. Now this person has to make sabr and get up. So it is sabr, as-sabru ala ta'at. It is either sabr on ta'at, or it is as-sabru anil musibah. That whenever there's some any kind of musibat, any kind of difficulty, then the person makes sabr on that. Or the person is making sabr, as-sabru anil masiyah. The person is making sabr from masiyat, from guna, from sins. That when the taqazas come in the heart of commit sins, the person makes sabr and restrains himself. So these type of sabrs the person has to exercise. So now here this person, he is saying, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So that lessens his burden, his grief, his sorrow. That Allah is the one who blessed me with all these ni'mat. So if he has snatched away some ni'mat, it is out of his will and his desire that he has taken it away. As long as I am not negligent, as long as I am not the person who has made some stupid and silly mistake and blunder. If a person does something stupid himself, then he must not blame Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for that. But something that was beyond his means, beyond his control, he just could not control it and help it. Now somebody that is traveling, driving past safely, and suddenly somebody comes and bangs his cuff, or the person just suddenly gets a heart attack on the steering wheel and his car goes off the road, anything can happen, or the person is shot. Now all this is beyond his control. So at such a time, this person makes sabr over these type of things that are happening, because he believes that it is all from my Allah. So the first part was shukr, the second is sabr. Now the sabr also we can go on discussing, it will never finish. One thing we have to understand is that this sabr which we have been asked to make, it is such a thing that it connects us with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and gives us the ma'iyyat of Allah ta'ala. Inna allaha ma'as sabireen. This person is exercising patience. It does not mean he doesn't make use of the means that Allah ta'ala has created to come out of those problems. He makes use of the means. But the means also are those which are justified means. Means which Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam are pleased with. Now here the person has got a financial difficulty, and straight away, instead of making sabr and trying to find a way out, he straight away thinks of the bank manager and how he can borrow much more money on interest. Instead of looking around his house and looking around his properties and whatever he owns, that how much is there that I've got surplus which I can get rid of. It is just there for nothing else but just for name and fame, and in fact I say it is also for shame, because the person has got so much there, but he's still owing the bank and is in financial difficulties. So this person then looks to get rid of all those surplus properties, gold and silver coins which he has got with him stored up for the rainy day. He tries to get rid of that, those beachfront flats and those luxury mansions and all those fishing boats, all those he says, I must get rid of it and pay the bank off. I do not want to touch interest and I want to turn towards my Allah. Then see how Allah Ta'ala finds a way out for this person. But if, when the person is in difficulty, is going headlong towards more sin, then how is he going to find a way out in his difficulties? So the second part of the prescription which we all can do is that any kind of difficulty, any kind of grief, any kind of sorrow, we say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And we turn towards our Allah. We have learnt only one thing, that if a person dies, we say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. One person told me, he says that my son was shot, and before he could complete it, I said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So he says, no, Mawlana, he didn't die, he's still alive. So I said, no, bhai, whatever kind of difficulty reaches you, even if he didn't die, but it's a difficulty, it's a problem. So he must read, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. If somebody says, my wife is sick and has been taken to hospital, and if you have to say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, then he must not think that you already cursed her to death. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the lamp went off, the lamp which was burning, extinguished. So Rasul Pak Sallam said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, is this also some kind of difficulty that the lamp went off? He said, yes, anything that causes a Muslim any kind of pain or problem. And he says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allah ta'ala will reward him on it. In fact, whenever he thinks of something that happened in the past, some incident took place 5 years ago, which at that time caused him such grief that he did not know whether he was coming or going. Now suddenly he recalled that incident and again he read, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He will still be rewarded. If he makes, he'll get the same reward of sabr as he made at that time. Look at Allah Ta'ala's ihsan. If a thorn has to injure a person, then too he should say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He will get rewards over it. It is like making sabr. So that is the second part of the prescription. That first, plenty of shukr, and secondly, plenty of sabr. And when the person is going to keep making shukr and sabr, then he is definitely connecting himself with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Again, that little beautiful couplet of Hazrat Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib rahmatullah alayhi suddenly comes to mind, which you have heard now more than a dozen times. Be-kaifi mein bhi to humne ek kaife musalsal dekha hai. بے کیفی میں بھی تو ہم نے ایک کیف مسلسل دیکھا ہے جس حال میں بھی وہ رکھتے ہیں اس حال کو اکمل دیکھا ہے. Whichever condition my Allah Ta'ala keeps me in, I found that to be the most perfect condition. جس راہ کو ہم تجویز کریں اس راہ کو اثقل دیکھا ہے جس راہ کو ہم تجویز کریں اس راہ کو اثقل دیکھا ہے جس راہ سے وہ لے جاتے ہیں اس راہ کو اسہل دیکھا ہے. Through whichever route my Allah Ta'ala takes me, because there's only two routes to Allah, either it is the route of sabr or the route of shukr. Allah Ta'ala gives plentiful and tests for shukr, or he takes away and tests for sabr. Now the person was in both cases, he passed his examination. When it was a time for shukr, he made shukr. Time for sabr, he made sabr. So that is the second part of the prescription. But let us go on to the third part, because as I said, it is holidays, we have many visitors, and they will not be here the next Friday. So we can discuss it at length again afterwards. The third part of this prescription is that we should make plenty of isti'aza. Isti'aza means that we must always seek protection in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Because every moment in our life we are requiring Allah Ta'ala's protection. And especially in these days of calamities and disasters and problems and shootings and murders and rape and hijacking and every kind of thefts and things that are happening around, we are in need of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's protection all the time. So whenever this fear comes into the heart that what could happen, now that I'm traveling into town, what could happen? Now that I am taking a drive to see my family members or visit my friends or go and check my business somewhere, then what is going to happen? Will I be safe? Now this fear has gripped everybody. Will I be safe? People who are making salam to their families in the morning and asking them to prepare dinner for themselves and some friends that will be coming, and they also give the menu. Many of them haven't returned to have that meal which they planned. So this is what is happening. So at such a time, this fear which has gripped all of us, so we require this protection of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So any time and every time that this fear comes into the heart, we say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Or we say, A'udhu billah. I seek protection in my Allah. That, oh Allah, you are the only one who can give this protection. Because none of us knows the very second what is going to happen to us. The very second, within seconds what happens, nobody knows. So therefore the person is seeking protection in Allah all the time. So he's making plenty of shukr, he's making plenty of sabr, and now he's making isti'aza. For everything, every time that some fear comes into his heart, whether it's regard to himself or his family or his home or his business or his travel or anything else, or even if it is the receiver of revenue, the person keeps making a'udhu billah. I'm seeking protection in my Allah. He's asking Allah Ta'ala to protect him because he is the only protector. If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala removes that protection, nobody can protect that person. And that is the best part of it, that the greatest scientists of the world, and not only the greatest scientists, put all the scientists of the world together, and put all the computers of the world together, and put all the technology of the world together. And again, don't misunderstand, there's nothing wrong with this science and technology if it is used for good purposes. But what I am saying is that if you put all together and tell them to inform a person that what is going to happen to him in the next 5 minutes, he does not know. They cannot. They do not know about themselves, whether can they know about others. So everything is in Allah Ta'ala's control. So now this person is making plenty of istihaza, oh Allah protect me, oh Allah protect me. This fear that I'm having, oh Allah protect my business, protect my family, protect my children, protect me, protect my car. Now all the time he is asking Allah for protection, so he's going to build up the muhabbat of Allah again. So these three things are already building up plenty of connection with Allah Ta'ala. But because the time is almost expiring, therefore let us finish the fourth part of the prescription, that make plenty of istighfar. That the person is bound to make mistakes. We are human beings, so we are bound to slip, we are bound to err, we are bound to make mistakes. But when we fall, then we should not remain there. If we are in the gutter, then we should not remain in that gutter. If a person has slipped and fallen into a gutter, and the filthy, dirty water of the gutter is going into his nose and into his ears, then he must not be satisfied and be happy that I have fallen here and see how wonderful and delicious this filthy, dirty water is. The person must get up quickly, immediately in fact. In fact, he must look around that nobody has seen him. When a little child also falls, he looks around that nobody saw me. He feels ashamed. So this person must get up immediately, rush to the bathroom, take a shower, change his clothes, apply itar, and smell fresh again. In the same way, this person who has accidentally committed a sin, he does not go out in search of sins. I've been repeating this many times, that a Muslim and a believer does not go in search of sins. Going to the cinemas, going to the discos, going to the prostitute quarters, going to the vice dens of the world is like going out in search of sins. Now that person, where is his iman if he is going out in search of sins and then again he is bragging about the sins? And when he is in a clubhouse where he is dancing with some woman, and when a photographer comes there, he is quite happy and proud to even pose with that fiancé of his or with that girlfriend of his and say, yes, you can publish my photograph also in the newspapers with my Muslim name and title, because I'm quite happy and pleased with whatever I have done. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. So this person is not like that. This Muslim, he is making istighfar. He says, Ya Allah, as a human being, I made a mistake. Forgive me, because you are the forgiving one, you are the merciful one. And if it's the rights of some people, then again he tries to fulfill those rights. If he has hurt or injured somebody, he asks him for forgiveness. And if it's the rights of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he makes plenty of istighfar and tawbah. If this person is going to do that, these four things if he is going to do, then he has covered his past, his present and future. His past he has covered with istighfar and tawbah. That plenty of istighfar and tawbah of all the sins that he has already committed. And tawbah that he's not going to commit those sins in future. Accidentally again, if he commit, he'll make tawbah. Shukr and sabr, he has already protected what we may term as his present. With shukr and sabr, he has protected and safeguarded his present. And with isti'aza, he has protected his future. Now what else does the person want? His past, his present and future. Whereas in reality, there is no such thing as a past and present. As we are talking, the present is already gone to the past. So what we are left only is with a little bit of future, and that too we do not know how much it is. As somebody rightly said, that the past is history, the future is mystery, and the present is the present. The present is the real present from Allah Ta'ala, because the past is already history and the future is a mystery. So if we are going to do this, then inshallah it will become easier for us to make amal on other things. Our muhabbat with Allah Ta'ala will build up, and then we will find sukoon in our hearts. There's such restlessness in the community. What must I tell you? We are answering calls the whole day and night, and we are taking cases upon cases. There doesn't seem to be any person left in this world who has got some kind of real happiness and contentment and satisfaction. So how else are we going to get it without building up our contact with Allah Ta'ala? So I conclude again on one beautiful couplet again, which of Hazrat Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib, of Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, with regards to istighfar and toba. Mera har khata pe rona, yehi hai meri talafi. Mera har khata pe rona, yehi hai meri talafi. Teri rahmaton ka sadqa, mera jurm afw karna. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us all a tawfiq of amal, protect us from all the problems, difficulties, hardships, and the entire ummah also around the world. Wa akhir da'wana.